Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research and Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.winbridge.org. Tonight's guest is Rochelle Wright, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Hello, Fran. As you mentioned, in case anybody wants to call in tonight, our guest is going to be talking about a new procedure, guided afterlife connections, which she claims will virtually 100% of the time result in people connecting with those in the afterlife. So we'll be learning more about that.
And that also happens to be the name of her new book that was just released and is available on the email that we sent out to our members and on our website at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
And as you mentioned, the number here is 1-888-815-9756. Now, we're winding down. We've got, about 1 week left before the...
1 week, and everybody's been calling. They're excited. Our food forms are in. Our chef is going shopping this weekend, I've been told, and... it's all going to happen, and it's all so wonderful. It just is nice to be spending a beautiful weekend with beautiful surroundings of like-minded people all coming together in search of the same thing, and that's how to connect with our loved ones on the other side without necessarily using a medium. There are many ways to open yourself up. There's many ways to communicate with them. There's many ways they can communicate back, as we are going to see with our guest that we have on the radio tonight. There's ways of changing your perspective of how you assimilate the physical world to allow yourself to have a meeting with someone on the other side. And those are the types of things we're going to be exploring this weekend. So if you have not yet made your reservations, please do it. We're going to be in the office tonight. I have to have these numbers in to the retreat center because the chef's got to go shopping. And the food's fabulous. We've been there before. So give us a call in the office, 631-425-7707. It's 631-425-7707, or you could go online and just reserve your seats there at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Right, and you mentioned, we're going to be exploring ways of fostering communication, but in addition to that, there will be two excellent mediums in attendance who will be doing spirit communication in small groups.
Very small groups.
So the likelihood is that most people will be able to make some connection, and that's part of their presentation. So these small groups are going to be rotating throughout the weekend, in addition to some, group presentations. Dream expert Rita Dwyer will be talking about fostering a dream contact with those in the afterlife. Dr. Hannah, who's a therapist, will be talking about ways of dealing with grief and techniques in making contact with those on the other side. And there'll be some apropos movies and panel discussions and group discussions and, you know, and sharing. And it should be, I would hope, you know, a healing weekend for a lot of people. So as you mentioned, there is some time. We have some seats left. And if you'd like to reserve that weekend, get a hold of us.
And just to mention, because people say, oh, well, small groups. What do you mean by small groups? So right now we've got 8 people in a breakout room. So that's small, and your hands-on workshops are going to be very helpful with that small ratio of people to facilitators.
Right.
Particularly when it comes time for spirit communication, because, you know, there's plenty of time for your loved ones and the other ones on the other side to line up and allow the mediums, Kim Russo and Doreen Malloy, to bring them through.
Yeah, and that, I guess that's really what it's all about. Although a lot of people don't think in those terms, you know, a lot of people become very reliant upon, you know, mediums and quite desperate, you know, to hear or have some sort of a after death contact, you know, with loved ones. And sometimes, you know, when you try too hard, it inhibits the process.
It certainly does, and we don't know what it is that creates that situation. But it's so easy to block the other side from coming through, and the mediums can't explain it, but they can sense the block. I mean, they'll try everything. You've seen the very, very good mediums who are really trying within a group to get even one person to make the connection. They'll say, okay, uncross your arms, uncross your legs, relax. They're not quite sure what it is that's blocking it, but they can sense that there is a block.
Yeah. You know, I can attest to the fact that I never really attempt to make any outward attempt, you know, a lot of the things that we discuss, you know, and trying to communicate. And yet, for some unknown reason, I've been having some sort of a transformation where I'm very often now communicating with the deceased in my dreams. Not only the person, you know, the one particular person that I wanted, but people that I didn't know that well, some people that I knew that well, every time it happens, I'm just scratching my thing.
Let me ask you this, Bob. Yeah. Are you writing them down?
Well, I'm not writing them all down. I'm only writing down, I keep a journal from one particular, you know, deceased person, but I should be writing the rest down. I recognize that, you know, because maybe there's an interwoven pattern. But my point was that I'm in a dream state, so it's not like I'm not even going to bed and saying and sending out an invitation for somebody to visit me. It's just happening, you know, and I don't know what that's all about, but it's all part of my exploration. So I'm somewhat encouraged by that because it's personal experience. So I think what we're going to do is go to our break, and when we come back, we will have our guest, Rochelle Wright, to talk about guided afterlife connections. So stay with us, and we'll be back in 3 minutes.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Rochelle Wright. Our sponsor is the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. Bob?
And before we get started, I did want to mention, Fran was talking about the Grief Retreat Weekend, and the sponsor of that weekend is the Odiana Meditation Center in South Windsor, Connecticut. And you could find them at odiana.org. That's O-D-I-Y-A-N-A.org. Now, Rochelle Wright is a Washington State licensed mental health counselor. She's a national certified counselor and an EMDR certified therapist. She's been a counselor for over 22 years, mostly specializing in trauma, and has now written a book with Dr. Craig Hogan about a new procedure that she designed to connect people to loved ones in the afterlife. The book is called Guided Afterlife Connections, and you can find more about Rochelle and the book on the website rochellewright.com. That's rochellewright.com. Welcome, Rochelle.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on your program.
I'm pleased that you were able to join us. I wanted to ask you, before you developed this new procedure, you were trained in another procedure, induced after-death communication, and you were facilitating connections to the afterlife using that method. So before we get into the specifics of a guided afterlife connection, can you start by telling us what's involved with the IADC, the induced after-death communication?
I was trained by Dr. Alan Botkin. I was actually kind of guided to read his book in December, I believe, of 2008. And I read his book, and I went ahead. I had a client who was a social worker whose brother had just suddenly died, and she was very distraught. So I told her I could try this method, but I was going to go back and have the training in Illinois, and so that didn't help her very much then. And she came in a couple weeks later, and she was very distraught, and she was having to plan things for the family. So I said, okay, let's try something. So after reading the book, I went ahead with the way Dr. Botkin describes to do it. And we went right into it, and I just kind of sat there and said, oh, something, please help me. And immediately she started talking to her deceased brother. And then she said, my grandfather's there too. And I said, is your grandfather deceased? And she said, yes. Okay. And it went on for 15 minutes. And she got a lot of direction. And so it was after that, I went back and had the training from Alan Botkin. And I came back, and I started doing the work immediately. I started working with the clients I have who had lost someone, and I had connections. I had very good success with it, and I was very excited about it, and so I called, I would call periodically Dr. Botkin, maybe once a month, and I would let him know, this is what's happening, we need to get it out to people, people need to know this, and, you know, he would say, you made my day, this is great, but we never did figure out how to get it out to people. And right. In the meantime, I was doing it differently, I was starting to see that there were other ways to do it, and that I could see it was more successful for me anyway doing it. And that's how it started. And is there anything you want to ask me now?
Yeah, I mean, the process involves, one of the things involved is evidently this form of rapid eye movements, or EMDR. And I believe that's considered to be a form of bilateral stimulation. Is that true?
That is true, and that is actually what we call it in the book, bilateral stimulation, because what I do is I do the eye movements during the processing. That really gets the brain moving fast, and at the same time, they are listening to an audio, a bilateral audio sounds that are also, so they're getting it in both arenas, through the audio and through watching my hand, the eye movements, following my hand with their eyes. And that is something different that I do.
Right. Now, bilateral stimulation, that's different from hypnosis. This has nothing to do with hypnosis, right?
That is correct. Okay. It's quite the opposite, because
right.
Hypnosis, like, slows down the brain. This really speeds up the brain. When we go into the processing, it really speeds up the brain.
Mm. So do you, I know nobody's really figured out why it works, just the fact that it does work, but do you speculate that it has something to do with the synchronization of the different hemispheres of the brain, that somehow allows people to get into that zone, for lack of a better term, where they can, you know, communicate with another dimension?
Well, the bilateral stimulation stimulates the right and left hemisphere of the brain. Trauma is basically caught in the right side of the brain, so as they're working on their grief issues, it is desensitizing it and changing it. The images and the memories that they have had that has really been traumatic for them and plagued them begin to change and become desensitized. Now, as far as your question about how does this, you know, go extend to the afterlife, that is a good question. It just has.
Right.
And the way that that I do it, I feel like when it gets into this procedure starts going, it's coming from the intuition, it's coming from the all-knowing part, it's coming from a very deep, deep well. And that deep well can be extended to this afterlife, or this wonderful source is what I call it, that it's coming from a wonderful source. That is what I say.
Mm-hmm. So while you are administering this stimulation to the patient or experiencer, you're also talking to the person at the same time. Are you giving instructions, or you know, take us a little bit through that? You're talking to them as
I will. Yeah. I will tell you.
Okay.
When they come in, they sit down and they immediately put on the headset. So they're immediately getting audio bilateral stimulation. And they wear the headset for the entire time, the entire procedure. If it takes 5 hours, then that bilateral audio is always, they're always listening to it. So when they come in, I explain what I'm going to do, and then I ask them to tell me about the person, what the person was like, what their personality was like. I want to know the good and the not so good aspects of the relationship. I want to know what happened, how did the person pass, right on through to the memorial service. And so that's what I start with, and I start writing, and I write, and I write, and I number them. And that could take an hour. There may be 73 memories. That part is different also than Dr. Bakken, because at least when I was trained, he told me that he does about 25. And I don't stop. I let them tell everything that they need to tell me. And sometimes at the end, you will get the most significant memories, the most potent memories. Mm. So they're telling me, and I'm writing them down, and then we take a break, and they come back, and I go through all of the memories with them, and I want to know, what is the most distressing memory? I mean, how high is it on a scale? I give them a scale 0 to 10. 10 is the highest, the most distressing. 0 is none or neutral. And I go through each memory. I read it to them, and they tell me it's a 6, it's a 10, it's a 1, it doesn't even register, it's neutral. So I go through all of them. And then we take another break, which is probably a short lunch break, and they come back, and we start processing. And in that time, I have figured out which, you know, they may have 5, 6, 10 plus, that will be tens. But I will want to know, what is a 10 plus? What's the 10 plus, plus, plus? I want to know the most significant memory, the one that is bothering them the most. And I start with that one. And I say, bring up the memory, bring up the picture that goes with the memory, and follow my fingers. So now I've added the eye movements as well as the audio. And then I'll stop, and they will tell me what they're getting, or I will just let them go. One of the things is that I know Dr. Bakken told me that usually things will come up within 20 seconds or seconds afterwards. But what I have found out is that I have let some of the experiencers go for as long as 15 or 20 minutes they're processing. And I had one tell me later, don't stop me, because all the brain is going really fast in their processing. So then they stop, and they will tell me what they're getting, and I'll say, think those words, bring up the picture that goes with the words, and keep going. And I do that. I just keep doing that and doing that.
Right. And so you're accomplishing, you know, two things, really. You're, I mean, somehow, the eye movements and the bilateral stimulation are breaking the pattern of trauma, of traumatic thoughts. And at the same time, they're also enabling some sort of a conduit, you know, to afterlife, after-death communication. So it's quite an it's very hard, I would imagine, for people unfamiliar with the process to grasp it. So, but I guess experience is the common denominator. You've found in virtually, from what I read, you know, all of your experiencers having some sort of contact. Is that true?
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
And what are the types of contacts that they describe? I mean, are these, you know, visions? Are they, do they hear voices? Or is it a combination of everything?
Well, it's a combination. They will sense a presence. They will, feel... they will actually see the person. They will get a thought that is a message that is not just a regular thought, as someone put it. It's very different. It's like it's something being transmitted to them. It's not just a thought that you normally would have.
And I'm sure that it's a question that's come up before, and I know that you'll be able to answer it. But I mean, if somebody's looking at this from the outside and they're not familiar with the procedure, they might be somewhat skeptical, because they're saying, well, you know, the experiencer is starting off, you know, talking about their deceased loved one for quite an extensive period of time, and that they're desperate to hear from them, so somehow he or she is, you know, hallucinating a contact. So, you know, when you hear things like that, I mean, how do you respond to that?
Well, I simply, you know, I really haven't heard very much of that, but I simply say, this is coming from a wonderful source, you know, and that's all I can tell you.
Right.
It amazes me each time. I'm in awe of the process. And what happens. And so that's, you know, as far as are they hallucinating, when people have the experience, they know they haven't been hallucinating.
Right. And I would imagine, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, from what I've read about various different disciplines of study, I mean, hallucinations are very disjointed and clouded clear information that doesn't come through. And in this case, in the cases that are in your book, and there are many of them, sometimes very clear, important messages come through. You know, messages that your patient is not, you know, thinking of. So I guess that would
correct.
Be another
and
option.
That's what, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's what I will say to them. I will say, is this something that you thought of or you expected to happen? And they will go, oh, no, it's not. I didn't even think of it. So things will be worked out that they hadn't even thought of in a very kind of a different way. It's and what I actually do is what I would call it. It's a protocol that I do that opens the portal to the afterlife. It opens, I would say, just a small piece, and that's when that comes through.
Right. And I know that, the book that we're talking about is Guided Afterlife Connections, and we're speaking
right.
with Rochelle Wright, the author. And in the book, Rochelle, describes the procedure in detail, but there are many, many wonderful stories of actual cases. And I know that you have some people with you tonight that are actually have chapters in the book describing their experience. And I know one of them, I read the chapter with Christine. If Christine is there, perhaps we could speak with her and get her her take. It was an experience that she had in making contact with her deceased husband.
That's right. Christine is here.
Okay.
So, Christine, if you will come on the line and speak up, go ahead.
Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Hi. I had to ask you, you know, before your guided afterlife connection, I mean, would you say that you believed in an afterlife, or you weren't quite sure, or you didn't?
I'd have to say that I did, so that made me kind of desperate to have a communication with my husband any way I could.
Yeah. And when, before you, had the experience, you know, what were you expecting? I mean, were you hoping that you were going to have, I mean, definitely you wanted to have some sort of connection, I would imagine, with your husband, correct?
Absolutely, yes. But I did not know what to expect.
Right. And as I recall from reading about your experience, at the beginning, the connection wasn't happening.
No, it wasn't, and it turned out that I felt very guilty and like a failure that I couldn't find a cure for my husband, and I didn't know that I was repressing that and grieving with everything, that was really a major problem for me. I didn't know until Burchell found that out, and then it, of course, opened up for me.
Yeah. Now, one significant form of communication that you had was a kiss. So, tell us about that.
Well, after he kind of arrived, I had the sensation of really cold on my lips, all around my lips, and then that's when he kissed me, because it just was, you know, the temperature in the room was all the same, but my face, my lips just felt very cold when he did kiss me.
Mm. And there was no mistake about it. I mean, you knew what was happening, that this was a kiss from your husband.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Did you, prior to having your guided afterlife connection, did you ever have an experience with a medium? Had you been to a medium?
Yes, I'd been seeing one medium here in Tacoma kind of on a every couple, 3-month basis because of just trying to have any connection that I could with him.
Yeah, and were you able to have, to connect with, through the medium?
Through her, I normally, yes, every time did have a connection with her,
right.
With him through the medium, yes.
Right. So now having both experiences, with the medium and then having a guided afterlife connection, how would you compare the two?
Well, with a guided afterlife connection, you're the participant. You're the one experiencing it for yourself, as opposed to with a medium, you're just listening to the words that are coming through her, which isn't less or less validating, but it's just you participate, and in my case, I dug deep into my guilt, which I wouldn't have done with a medium, which has helped me with my grief process to a certain extent.
Hmm. So I understand what you're saying. I think that I've always thought that somebody cannot become totally convinced, and know that there's an afterlife unless it comes from personal experience. Because as you pointed out, when you see a medium, the media, it's coming through the medium. You're not having that direct experience yourself. So I would think that the guided afterlife connection, when that happens, plays a much greater role in moving you towards that knowledge that a loved one still exists. Is that something you would agree with?
Oh, absolutely, because on my way home from the second session, I had the words come to me that it was the most profound experience of my life. I'd never experienced anything like that, and I was happy that I was able to communicate with my husband. So it was a
words can't even describe
yeah.
the joy of being able to communicate with them.
Yeah, I would imagine to put a whole new perspective as you navigated your physical life, right? That knowledge went a long way. Well, I thank you so much for speaking with us. We're going to go to a short break now. When we come back, perhaps we can hear from Judy and talk more with Rochelle. So we're going to go to a short break, and stay with us, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Thank you.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
After-death communication is an accepted occurrence in many cultures throughout the world. But for many others, proof of this phenomenon is essential. And research shows that contact helps move people through loss and grief. The Sign Registry allows people to register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to specific loved ones. Contact the Forever Family Foundation at foreverfamilyfoundation.org or go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest here tonight is Rochelle Wright. This show is sponsored by the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential and can be found on the web at www.windbridge.org. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to Rochelle Wright, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. With these hard times upon us, some of our supporters write to say they love the radio show, they want to see it continue, they love the work of Forever Family Foundation, but they just don't have extra dollars these days to send our way. Even though we are a 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do, and yet we want to do so much more. So this is how everyone can help without sending us money. go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. But you don't have to stop there. If your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find your items, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. I'm going to mention again our weekend retreat, May 20th to 22nd, at the Guest House Conference Center in Chester, Connecticut. It's easy to get to by plane, train, or automobile, and it's certainly worth the trip. We have people coming from as far as California and Canada, so don't be shy. We will be covering dream visits, induced after-death communication, grief recovery, psychic empowerment, medium spirit communication, and the list goes on, all in a beautiful setting. We love for you to join us. The event is sponsored by the Odiana Meditation Center in South Windsor, Connecticut. They can be found at www.odiana.org. That's spelled O-D-I-Y-A-N-A.org. We also have our Holidays Past raffle is up and running. You can win one of the five or more of the five medium readings with Samara Angelay, Angelina Diana, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Stephanie Ann Stevens, or Neil Zapowski. It's $5 a chance. Go on the website at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org and click on the raffle, and you can get instructions on how to enter. We also have our Holidays Past coming up in December. Three of the four are already scheduled. Again, you can find them on the website. We have Angelina Diana and Dave Kane on December 10th at the Hampton Inn Boston Natick in Natick, Massachusetts. We have Teresa Caputo on December 17th in Melville, New York at the Melville Marriott. And on December 3rd, Joanne Gerber at the Best Western Berkshire Inn in Bethel, Connecticut. And that does it for me, Bob.
Okay. And we're back speaking with Rochelle Wright, the author of Guided Afterlife Connections. Her website is rochellewright.com. And, Rochelle, I wanted to ask you, the when you administer the, I say administer for lack of a better term, though, if that's the correct terminology, but when you inducing is, that's another, you don't like to use the term induce, I don't think, right? When you guide somebody through an afterlife connection, do some people connect more quickly than others? Hello, Rochelle? Okay, we seem to have lost our guest. Okay, we'll try to get her back on. As we were talking about this, you know, this is a procedure that was expanded upon. It started with the induced after-death communication that Dr. Botkin discovered.
Right, while he was working with Vietnam.
Right. And now other forms of bilateral stimulation have been added, and therefore more people seem to be having the occurrences, whereas the percentage was 70 to 80%. Now it's somewhere, you know, hovering around 100%. So it's an intriguing thing. I mean, I'm sure there's many listeners that are going to want to find out more about that. Hi, Rochelle, you're back.
Yes, I'm back.
Hey.
I'm back.
What I was asking before was, do you find that some people connect more quickly than others during the procedure?
I do. Some do. However, some of them connect immediately when I start the eye processing,
uh-huh.
The eye movement.
Right.
And sometimes with the one memory, it will unravel the whole thing, which will go on for an hour. And but they do connect, I would say, fairly quickly.
Yeah.
They will see things like bright colors. They will see light. They will see, you know, they see flowers. They see green grass. They see. So when they start talking like that, or they're feeling peaceful, then I know that one is coming, and it actually comes with, I'd say, most of them fairly quickly once we start the processing.
Mm. Have you ever had a situation where, you know, somebody came to you for the procedure and they're, you know, have their arms crossed and, you know, they don't believe in an afterlife and, you know, would that shut down the effectiveness of the procedure? You know, is it possible to put up a block?
I would say yes, and I've had no one ever come like that. Actually, I wouldn't do one with someone like that. I think that they want, you know, the target person is someone who wants to know. It's like the regular person or a man or woman on the street that wants to know what happened to my husband, my wife, my child, my father, my mother, my best friend. And they, when they call me and they want to do this, they always want to do it.
Right.
If I think that they are, that they're questioning it all, I will say, you know, maybe you need to take some more time to really think about it. Because, I will do it, you know, I will do it with people that want to do it.
Right. But of course, there could be a situation where, you were treating somebody for their trauma, and you put them through the bilateral stimulation, you know, techniques, and you're effectively reducing their trauma, and then, you know, the connection may come as a surprise, right? So you could have somebody that never gave much thought to the afterlife, but now not only are you breaking the memory patterns, but you've introduced a whole new world to them.
That's right. Yeah. Well, there's one in the book like that. We're talking about, right now we're talking about a regular client that would come into my office for an hour to an hour and a half session.
Yeah.
And the one did. I mean, her grandmother popped in, and it's in the book, and it was delightful. I mean, we were both very happy about it, and
right.
She gave her advice, and of course it was only an hour session, and so I said, well, we need to end it now. Is there anything more you want to say? And because I needed to end that, and normally I don't have to end these when they're scheduled, you know, out for the day. I don't.
Yeah.
But, she said to my client, you need to get back in here. And that's in the book. And then the same client came in later, and her tenant had passed away. So, yes, I mean, but no, it doesn't upset the people. I have had another one that's happened with. It doesn't upset them. It makes them think, oh my gosh, there's so much more. And they're excited. I the people that I work with, they're pretty excited about all this. You know, they're happy about it. They're happy they're getting connections. And even if it pops up in an hour session, they're quite amazed.
Yeah, well, listen, somebody that's in grief, there's nothing more in the world that they want than to make a connection. So you certainly do open up a whole new dimension to their lives. Now, you mentioned that we know that after a guided afterlife, you know, connection, as you report in the book, I mean, one's grief is usually, you know, greatly reduced, you know, or resolved. I would imagine that this is because they're coming away with the knowledge that their loved one still exists, as, you know, whereas before they either didn't believe it or they weren't sure. So is that the main reason that people have, you know, a lot of their grief resolved?
Well, the Well, the main reason, first of all, their sadness, at the very minimum, their sadness is greatly reduced. And it's reduced by the bilateral stimulation, too, that we do. And then, of course, if the connection, they feel like they know now. They
right.
know so much more. And the other thing is they get direction with their life. I mean, it's the connection, but then there's words of almost to how to live their life.
Yeah.
What to do next.
Right.
And, what is, they're very happy about that.
Well, before we run out of time, I'd like to speak to Judy, if I could.
Yes.
So, has an experience in your book. So, Judy, are you with us?
I am, and actually your questions are, you're almost talking about me, because I would say, I don't even know if Rochelle knows this, but I mean, I never believed in an afterlife. Rochelle said to me, we should target your father, because I've seen Rochelle for I don't know how many years. And my father had always been troubled. I've always been troubled by my father.
Yeah.
But he had passed on, and she said to me, we should target your father. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And, kind of half-heartedly, really. And the process she described about coming in, and she asked me to tell the story of my father's life, you know, that took an hour and a half, I think, Rochelle.
Mm.
She commented on it. It was very long,
Yeah.
And she wrote and wrote and wrote. And just in the telling of the story, I had healing and insight that I had never had in all, I'm over 60 years old. And I left that day with a lot of insight and a lot of calm, and it was a long day. And, she did the both types of stimulation, and I thought it was done, really. I mean, I was happy with what happened, but I didn't think it was an afterlife connection. But then I came back a week later, I believe, and Rochelle said to me, well, did you have a connection with your father? And I said, well, no. And she said, then I paused and I said, well, I did have a dream. She said, well, tell me about it. And then I told about the dream. And that is when I realized that I had, right then, a connection with my father. And I dreamed. She said, well, what was the dream? And I said, well, we were just out in the forest, and he was teaching me. And because my father loved the environment, and he was teaching me, and it was very calm. And she said, well, that was a connection, an afterlife connection with your father. And then it just kind of all spilled out of me, the insights that I had about how he had taught me when I was a little girl. And now, as an adult woman, he was teaching me about myself and how I'm living in the world and the choices I'm making.
Yeah. And I would imagine that we didn't discuss this before, but I would imagine that it's sort of like an offshoot of the procedure, and that can result in dreams, is what happened to you. So it gets you synchronized, so and to open up to dreams, whereas you maybe before you never had a dream with your deceased loved one. So
what accounts for that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that since all that this has happened, I've had total peace about my father.
Hmm. Well,
can I insert something? What we did is, when she came in the second time, I went in and targeted the dream, and the dream opened up. It just opened up like a flower, and it just started coming out, and her dad was telling her this and telling her that and teaching her. And so what happened is I targeted that dream, and it opened up, and you got all that.
I did. Well,
that's wonderful. I mean, unfortunately, we've come to the end of our time. I'm sure that a lot of people are going to want to find out more. So I just want to make sure we get that in. The book is called Guided Afterlife Connections, There is a link, an Amazon link on our website, if you want to purchase the book on foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Rochelle's website is rochellewright.com. That's R-O-C-H-E-L-L-E, and Wright is spelled W-R-I-G-H-T.com. You can learn about her work. Her email is there, you can certainly, I would advise you to pick up the book so you can learn more. So thank you, Rochelle, and thanks to Christine and Judy for joining us tonight. And I hope that you'll visit us again, and perhaps we can see you at some time in the future.
Well, thank you so much for having us. This has been a wonderful experience for all three of us. And, again, thank you.
Okay, thanks so much. We'll talk to you. Have a good evening.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy for more participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Chuck Rocket, Vicki Steffi, Janet Mayer, Judith Lachman, Wendy Lippo, and all the people in Japan affected by the tsunami and various other tragedies going on there. Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf by praying like this: to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, planktons, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was Masuro Umoto, May 9th, 2010. And now it's time to say...
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.